From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch, health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Tim Henney.
Our next guest is Ryan Sternagle.
In May of 2014, his son, Ryder, was diagnosed with stage 4 neuroblastoma, a childhood cancer of the nervous system. This happened 11 days before his first birthday. Ever since that day, Ryan and his wife, Teddy, have continually consulted with naturopathic doctors, cancer coaches, and health experts all over the world to employ an integrative approach that minimized the amount of conventional treatment that Ryder received through a mix of super nutrition, targeted supplementation, energy medicine, and healthy lifestyle practices, all to make sure that Ryder not only survives but thrives in his health for the rest of his life.
Ryan Sternagle joins us now in the studio to talk about an upcoming Anti-Cancer Revolution Summit.
It's an online summit. It's coming up the end of June. And so glad to have you, Ryan. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Lynn. Good to be with you.
So in 2014, you have this beautiful little baby boy who's about to turn one, and you get the diagnosis. What was it like for you that day, and where did you go in your mind from there?
Yeah, and it was, you know, we had already kind of known that it was coming. It was a building up to get to that diagnosis. We had been to his pediatrician who kind of sent us away, and red flags were starting to add up in our mind. He was born in the 90th percentile at this point. He just kind of stopped growing at about 6 months. He was down to, I want to say, the 20s at this point. I think he got down to like the 5th percentile during treatment. Yeah, he had stopped growing. This was 11 days before his first birthday, and he still wasn't walking. He wasn't even crawling. Mm-hmm. Which, being first time parents, you know, we didn't really know what to expect. But and everyone
you
says
never
they're
have thought cancer.
Yeah, everyone says they're developing at their own pace, but. So it's, you know, these things were starting to add up, and then we ended up getting an ultrasound, which showed a mass, and at that point, my wife, Teddy, had kind of Googled diagnosed neuroblastoma.
Yeah.
So when we did get the diagnosis, it was, it was obviously the worst thing you could imagine in the world, and there was a lot of, you know, certainly a lot of fear associated with it. I look back and it's kind of one of those, like, remember it.
How did we go through this and survive it?
Yeah. And kind of like that diagnosis was almost like, you know, remembering a dream.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I mean? It's some parts are very vivid, like they happened yesterday. And then others are, yeah, just kind of blurry. But
yeah. Well, so, you know, a parent will do anything for their child. And you hear the diagnosis. And of course, your doctors are saying he'll need to undergo chemo and radiation. It'll be this whatever course. And I'm sure there was a part of you that said, bring it on, whatever we need. But then there's this other niggling part in your brain that said, I want to find out another way to complement this, because it just, what, doesn't make sense to me that this is the only way to heal.
Yeah, well, like you said, whatever we need, because Teddy and I had been getting into natural health, whatever you want to call that, the several years prior, before we were getting ready to, you know, have a baby, it was, let's make sure we're living the healthiest life possible. So we were getting rid of chemicals, we were, you know, eating organic, we were getting rid of like electromagnetic fields, which is a really big deal when you start looking into, you know, what those do from Wi-Fi and that sort of thing. And we'd seen a few, if you want to call them alternative cancer documentaries, just out of general interest, on the ways people were reversing cancer, either in conjunction with conventional treatment or even, you know, without it entirely. So again, it was like knowing that we wanted to do everything we could. So yeah, like immediately there was that fear, but then also kind of running through the checklist in our heads of, okay, we're gonna make these calls, and we're gonna look at these websites and get on PubMed, which is kind of where they house all the published scientific research, and start looking around, see what we can find there. And sure enough, there's a lot of stuff you can do that is not offered in the hospital, we'll put it that way, both in terms of you know, like, again, published research and testimonial and clinical experience from naturopathic doctors on, you know, what you can do to reverse cancer, have a therapeutic effect, but also even just, you know, mitigating side effects from conventional treatment, reducing toxicity, making the conventional treatment more effective while protecting your healthy cells at the same time, all this stuff. So it was like, in our minds, our kid's life and, you know, like you mentioned in your introduction there, like his well-being for a long time is on the line. Why wouldn't we do everything we could? And, you know, we start researching this stuff, and you know, the statistics we found were, and from conventional medicine as well, from something like 90% of childhood cancer survivors will face multiple secondary chronic illnesses by the time they're 40. And, you know, a good percentage of those are life-threatening, such as secondary cancers and whatnot. So it's like, and, you know, they say it's from the treatment. So all these things together, it's like, let's do everything we can. And that's kind of been the MO ever since. And that was, like you said, it was just over 5 years ago now. We just crossed that 5-year mark, which was, you know, obviously a big deal when it comes to cancer. Yeah.
Ryan and Lynn also, you've experienced a bit of this, but is a question about prevention even relevant? Because I know you're dealing with, you know, the aftermath of diagnosis, but you talked about just now, you and Teddy having been found a healthy way of living appealing, and you were already implementing certain practices that you would think would be preventative. Have you attempted to look at prevention, or is that just too much noise?
Oh, well, when you get into, you know, what causes cancer and why cancer rates are on the rise, kind of the, you know, there's we've always kind of used the phrase, let's remove the cause, so to speak. And when you start watching these natural health documentaries or whatever, you know, say you're watching a documentary about chemicals and the rise in chemical production and just the billions of pounds of chemicals that get produced and imported into the States every year, and they have a graph, and it's like, look at the graph, it corresponds perfectly with cancer rates, oh my gosh. And then you watch a movie about GMOs, genetically modified organisms, or, you know, conventional farming practices these days, and look at the graph, ever since they've implemented these practices, it matches perfectly with cancer rates. And then same thing with, like I mentioned, electromagnetic fields and all this stuff. So you put all these things together, and it's no wonder that cancer rates are going up and up and up as far as adults are concerned. And childhood cancer, I mean, it didn't even really exist 100 years ago, and now it's everywhere. So from our point of view, it was like, let's figure out everything that could have caused it. And yeah, we were doing a lot of stuff, but, you know, maybe Ryder had a lower toxic threshold than the next guy, so the next baby, so to speak. And and, you know, that didn't account for Teddy and I having lived the better part of 30 years at that point, not having paid attention to this stuff. It was only the past few years. So yeah, all that being said, it was like, unless we remove the cause, and not knowing what the cause was, let's just remove anything that could have contributed to it, we're always going to be fighting an uphill battle. And that's, you know, we was mentioned, we've been consulting with naturopathic doctors, integrative medical doctors, ever since. And that's, you know, the consensus, you know, that they all come to is, you know, it really needs to be a full spectrum approach, not only from everything you can do from a treatment point of view, but yeah, from removing all the bad stuff, for lack of a better term, from your life.
And I don't know if anybody else who's listening is Googling neuroblastoma, but I don't have I'm not very familiar with that term. And if you could explain kind of what that was or is, how it affected your son, and then kind of the different stages. I know that there are, you know, different degrees of risk and probability and things like that. That would be really helpful.
Yeah, so neuroblastoma is one of many childhood cancers you've probably never heard of before. You know, with adults, it's brain cancer, stomach cancer, you know, kind of the obvious cancers you've heard about before. But with childhood cancers, it's neuroblastoma is one of the more prevalent ones. But that being said, I've been researching this stuff and working with other parents for 5 years now, and I'm still learning about a new childhood cancer. It seems like every other week. But yeah, neuroblastoma is a childhood cancer of the nervous system, neuroblastoma. So it can either be in the spine or in the brain. Ryder's was in his spine. So yeah, those initial scans that we got, you know, the phrase that will never leave our minds is the lump you felt in your son's back was just the tip of the iceberg. So it turned out that he had a huge tumor inside of and growing out of his spine, a couple secondary tumors that all metastasized into the secondaries and metastasized into his hip bones. The big one was basically just infused with his spinal cord. You couldn't even see his spine on the scans. So
once you underwent chemo and radiation, and then you combined some of these other, it's funny, we used to call them alternative therapies. They're no longer alternative therapies. They're integrative. It's functional medicine and naturopathic oncology, which was a new term to me, you used. How do you feel that the blend between, the bridge between the two proved to be more effective? How much more effective? And how do you feel like you can prove that one way or another in for your family? Because that's really all you have to prove it for.
Yeah, for our family in particular, it's actually what brought us to Utah and then Park City was, we wanted to be responsible and know that we had knocked the cancer out, so to speak. But we also, again, going back to those statistics, did want to minimize the conventional treatment that Ryder received. So his protocol was, and I should have mentioned, I forgot to finish that. So he had stage 4 intermediate risk neuroblastoma. So there's low risk, intermediate risk, high risk. There's something else called 4S, which could potentially go away on its own, but it wasn't that. And so his you know, the standard of care called for 8 rounds of chemotherapy. At 4 rounds, Ryder was doing way better than he should have been at that point. And you know, we had in the meantime been seeing a naturopathic oncologist who was a naturopathic doctor who specializes in cancer. Doing, you know, consulting, like you said, all over the world, ordering a ton of supplements. We'd gotten him a feeding tube so we could get all this stuff into him. We were making, you know, fresh pressed juice for him, like in the hospital. We had a juicer and a water filter and all this stuff in the hospital. And we were going to town and, you know, like I said, he was doing so well that we did want to see if we could minimize everything. And so that's what ended up bringing us to Utah was we weren't seeing eye to eye, for lack of a better term, with the hospital back in Washington State, and wanted to try our hand somewhere else. And so we ended up moving out here and the team that we landed on, it was a conventional medical team. It's not like they were into the integrative stuff or anything like that, but they were at least willing to treat Ryder like an individual.
I assume at Primary Children's in Salt Lake.
Yeah. And say that, you know, maybe those 4 rounds of chemo were enough for him. And, you know, so that they were a wait and see approach is what they agreed to. You know, we're not going to just stop chemo no matter what, but let's see if that was enough. And you could say from a conventional standpoint, obviously not from a alternative or integrative or functional or whatever you want to call it standpoint, but from the conventional standpoint, we've been on that wait and see approach ever since. So for our family, Ryder received half of the conventional treatment, at least. You know, it could have been more if we stuck around in Washington. We will never know, but.
Right. So he didn't undergo radiation then?
No.
No, just chemo, half the amount of treatments. He is now, when he gets MRI, you don't see any cancer. You're at the 5-year.
Yeah, so we just crossed the 5-year mark, which was, you know, kind of a big deal when it comes to cancer. And this is right, the diagnosis was right before his first birthday. So every year in May, this actually just happened, you know, his birthday is a little extra special. And then we get that, you know, anniversary one more year out. And so he just turned 6. We just crossed the 5-year mark. And it's pretty cool. So he has, so the secondary tumors are gone. There's no more metastasis. And there is a bit of what we feel pretty safe calling scar tissue at this point from the big one. And that's, you know, his team, they all say that they'd be surprised with how big it started out. It was, you know, it was bigger than his kidneys. You couldn't, it was taking up everything. And so more often than not, those kids, even, you know, 10, 15, 20 years out, are left with a bit of scar tissue. I'd like it to go away, and we're certainly working on, you know, holistic ways of maybe accomplishing that. But, we feel pretty good about saying we're out of the woods. That's for sure.
I'm curious about the toll this has taken on your family, and yet that toll from hearing you, watching you, it seems as though that toll has been transformed into something that has benefit. And I'm afraid to call it benefit because I know there's a toll. There's an emotional toll, an energetic toll at a minimum, and there's been a lot more toll that you have already expressed. How do you look at life and this, you know, six-year-old and the birthday and the anniversaries and all those things? I mean, it must have changed your life in very interesting ways.
Yeah, you know, a lot of, safe to say a lot of beauty has come out of it. You know, it's kind of been a crazy dichotomy of being in the most stressful situation you could imagine. Both of us, especially that first year, you know, the joke is that we looked more like the cancer patients than Ryder did because, you know, he's getting all this super nutrition and all this stuff and we're running on coffee and 3 hours of sleep. And, you know, but then on the other hand, once you get into, like, again, leaving nothing on the table, kind of, you know, you can even call it more of the woo-woo side of things, but wanting to project the best energy we could at all times and, you know, having the most healing environment and all this stuff. And so wanting to project that onto Ryder, but at the same time, I mean, we were doing a lot of fundraising. We raised tens of thousands of dollars, which was also like a really cool thing that came of all this. We started putting everything we were doing online to Facebook, one, to inspire other parents, and two, just to put it out there that, hey, here's what we're doing for our son, and this stuff isn't free. You know, please help, more or less. And so people we had never met before ended up donating tens of that, or, you know, single donations of multiple thousands of dollars. But then at the same time, we also weren't scared to open a credit card or five, and so, you know, going deeper and deeper in debt and all this. And so it was a dichotomy, and it was a really, really hard time. But all the same, kind of going back to what we talked about before in removing the cause, it was a opportunity, I'll call it, to take a big step back and take a real hard look at our lives. And we had come a long ways with the natural health stuff, but there was still a whole ton of stuff we've, you know, found that we could do better. And we implemented those changes. And it was, you know, kind of a our kind of, you know, internal tagline that we had early on was live for today and fight for tomorrow. So, you know, everything we were doing, pouring our whole blood, sweat, and tears into this whole thing, we were also making sure to, you know, make the most of our journey and just our time with Ryder and all that. So, you know, we got to Utah and we were, like we said, you know, in the infrared sauna, we were doing the juicing, we were doing the supplements, we were going to the, you know, the naturopathic oncology appointments and all this stuff. But at the same time, we were getting out and exploring this, you know, the great state of Utah here and just, you know, all the getting out on all the trails and doing all this stuff. And So it has been a really cool opportunity just to make sure we're making the most out of life. And that's what we've tried to do. Yeah.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Ryan Sternegal. He is here to tell us about his story, but also an online anti-cancer revolution summit coming up next week. So it's online, it's free. And part of what you have developed now, Ryan, is called the Stern Method. And so we could probably talk to you for the whole next hour, but we just have a couple minutes left. So why don't you tell us about the online summit and how easy it is to sign up and who we'll hear from, including yourself.
So going back to, you know, putting everything we were doing out there, you know, our last name, Sternegal, that's hard to remember. And so the website we ended up developing was the Stern Method. We ended up getting so many questions from other parents and people going through cancer that it made sense to start a website. And then that ended up being a podcast and a YouTube channel and all this stuff. But yeah, the most recently our big project has been, it's called the Anti-Cancer Revolution. The website is anticancerrevolution.com. There's just no the in it. But it is an online conference, a summit, it's called sometimes, basically featuring 42 of what we consider to be some of the best integrative medical doctors, naturopathic oncologists, cancer researchers, all from the perspective of, again, going back to doing everything you can, leaving nothing on the table, and really trying to just bring this information and what's helped us so much in our journey to the masses. And so that's what we're trying to do with this event. So it's online. It goes over the course of a week. So 42 experts, that equals 6 speakers per day. So it starts this coming Monday, June 17th. You can, again, just register for it at anticancerrevolution.com. And then you'll have access to all those talks. And again, it's, you know, we've got speakers on there covering everything from ways to mitigate the toxicity, the side effects, all that stuff, the best ways to integrate with conventional treatment, just from a pure, you know, let's not feel like garbage going through treatment standpoint. And then, you know, getting more into the therapeutic side of, hey, here's a lot of stuff that's been shown to, you know, also have direct anti-cancer effects outside of conventional treatment. So it's our attempt at bringing all this stuff to the world the best way we know how.
Did the summit take a lot of effort to put together, or did it have kind of organic traction once you came up with the idea?
No, it's I joke that after this summit will be the first time that that I get a full night's sleep in 5 years since Ryder's been diagnosed. But so it was certainly a lot of work putting together, rounding up all the speakers. There was a lot of, you know, cat herding involved, I guess you could say.
When did it begin? You just referred to the last 5 years, but I know not all of that could have been, or did the idea of the summit occur?
No, I mean, it's been an organic thing. About a little over a year ago, I ended up unexpectedly parting ways with my day job. It wasn't bad terms or anything, but it was kind of a sign from above that it was time to go full time with what we were doing. So we actually put on another event back then to kind of get us started. It was all about environmental toxicity, but this has been in the works for, I want to say, since the beginning of the year. Yeah. So it's the natural health community has kind of rallied around it. We've got tens of thousands of people registered to watch it at this point. And
not a question because we're out of time, but I'm watching the video as we're talking, and a writer has got to be one of the cutest kids alive.
Ryan Sternegal, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck to you. We'll have to talk to you again because this story is just far too good for the mere time we had today. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. If you missed part of the show or want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab. We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows. Wherever you find your podcasts, you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name. So look for KPCW The Mountain Life and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.